everybody. My name's Mickey Bush and I'm an alcoholic. Probably an addict too. In Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, I identify as an alcoholic and probably an addict, because that's the way we like it done. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we like to identify one alcoholic to another alcoholic. So in Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's the way we like it done, I identify as an alcoholic and probably an addict. So that's the way we like it done. Well, I'm a real alcoholic. I am a real alcoholic. Total alcoholic. Everything about me is alcoholic. It's not just a part of me alcoholic or a big part of me that ain't alcoholic. I'm all alcoholic. Just like the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm an alcoholic of our kind, it says. It's not just, you know, like a little bit of here and a little bit there. I'm all alcoholic. Alcoholic. Don't confuse me with anybody who ain't alcoholic. I am all alcoholic. Well, being a real alcoholic, I have the right to be dysfunctional in as many ways as I like. Don't tell me I'm restricted. I have the right to be dysfunctional any way I like. So being a real alcoholic, I get asked to speak in Narcotics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous and other anonymous programs. Well, when I identify in those fellowships, I identify as an addict and probably an alcoholic. Because that's the way they like it done too. Okay? And I don't have a problem with that today. My name's Mickey Bush, I'm an alcoholic, I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, I know what's wrong with me and I know what to do about it. And that's a lot of shit right there. And I never knew that when I got here. January the 15th, 1983. Well, there's a lot of you that know me a long time, and, you know, Linda and Scotty and ZW and, of course, Carl and Joan and Joe, and lots of you know me. So you know that, you know, if there's 12 steps attached to anything, I'm a contender for it. It don't matter what it is. You know, if there's 12 steps attached to anything, I'm a contender for it. AA, NACA, ACA, Overeaters, Little Peters, it don't matter what it is. You know, I am an alcoholic. You know, if there's 12 steps attached, I'm a contender. So, I suppose I really better back up because you know me, I better be rigorously honest and let you know I did actually go to a Little Peter meeting, but they wouldn't let me in, said I didn't qualify. They let Carl in. Carl was alright. So you get the point. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm alcoholic. I didn't know I was alcoholic when I got here. I mean, I got to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983, and I haven't drank since. Not a drop has passed my lips from the very first meeting I got here, and I never came here to quit drinking. Never had no desire to quit drinking, you know, so, and yet I haven't drank since. January the 15th, 1983. I never knew I was alcoholic. Never had a clue about being alcoholic. Never knew nothing about nothing. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was so sick that I never knew I was sick. Do you know how sick that is? Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you don't know you're sick? That's really sick. And if you're as sick as I was when I got here, and you come in a room like this, and you look around the room, you think, well, at least I'm not as sick as him. Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you don't think you're as sick as someone else? That's really sick. So if you're wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic in here today, I want you to know that I can relate to being as sick as you don't think you are. Really sick, really sick. And I never knew. I never knew. I'm from Northwest London. You probably picked up on that, right? This is the way I talk. Alcohol never done this to me, you know what I mean? Everybody speaks like this where I'm from. Northwest London.
And everybody drank.
Everybody I knew drank. I didn't know anybody who didn't drink. Everybody drank. Everybody drank like me, or I drank like them. Everybody drank. We never had a reason for drinking. We never had a reason not to drink. Everybody drank. We drank if the team won. We drank if the team lost. If it was a tie, we drank till there was a result. I don't know anybody who didn't drink. Weird people didn't drink. People who did weird stuff like talk to police and shit. I don't know anyone who did that. You know, I know that's different to you guys because you guys all know why you drank. I don't know why I drank. Everybody drank. Don't know why I drank. You guys do. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know. I don't know why I do what I do. I know you guys do, but I didn't. I hear you guys sharing about why you drank. I heard it yesterday's ring. I heard a guy talk about he drank because he couldn't stand the pain, and he drank because he was covering up who he was. He drank because he couldn't stand his feelings. And I went, at what stage of the game did you discover that? I didn't know why I mean, I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine going into a pub and saying to the bartender, oh, bartender, hit me with a triple shot of your best shit, because I can't stand who I am and I want to cover up the pain tonight. Oh, Mr. Dealer Man, give me an extra rock, because I really feel inadequate. I know you guys knew that, I never knew that. I don't know nothing about nothing. I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't know nothing about nothing. I think I know everything about everything. I mean, if you want to know how the space shuttle blew up, I'll tell you. Because when my butt's on the bar stool drinking, I'll tell you anything. I know everything. Space shuttle, only missed being on it by that much. Space shuttle, oh, everything. Well, I don't know nothing about it. I don't know how I'm alcoholic. I don't know I'm alcoholic. You guys told me. Now, contrary to what a lot of people say, you know, we say a lot of things about the big book, but it don't say in the beautiful book, we don't tell folk they're alcoholics. It says we prefer not to. We don't brand them alcoholic scar. But anybody read the book, by the way? It's a good idea. On page 187, when Bill and Bob are doing the third man on the bed, you know, they say to him... They say, you are an alcoholic. He went, I never really gave him much thought. He said, I thought I was just a drunk. They said, no, there's something wrong with you. You're alcoholic. And that's what happened to me when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I got to the first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, January the 15th, 1983. And a guy got up in my face. He said, you're alcoholic. I said, what? He said, you're alcoholic. Alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. I thought that was bloody mean to say a thing like that. Say a thing like that to a dude. What do you mean? You're alcoholic. Alcoholic? Why'd you say that? Because if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and sounds like a duck and smells like a duck, it's a bloody duck. Just because he's been taking some shit and thinks he's an eagle, no, you're a duck. You're a duck, I'm a duck. Quack, quack. You're going, ooh, holy shit. Alcoholic? I'm an alcoholic. You're alcoholic. Alcoholic? Wow. For alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. Alcoholic? Wow. Alcohol. I'm an alcoholic. Far out. Far out. They've been locking me up in nut wards all my life. I ain't nuts. I'm alcoholic. Far out. Being alcoholic was like a step up for me. Wow. Far out. I couldn't wait to run home and tell my best pal, the one who kicked me out that morning and told me to piss off, he said. I ran home. I said, hey, guess what? I'm alcoholic. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable. He said, no shit. I thought it was going to be a surprise. Everybody knew, except me. And I'm glad I did meet somebody in that first meeting that yelled at me loud enough to get past the voices that were already there talking to me.
Anybody relate to the voices that talk to you?
Who relates to the voices that talk to you?
Yeah.
You know them voices. Them voices that just said what voices? Them bloody voices. You know them voices. You know the voices. Someday the voices are sitting on the edge of the bed. Says, I'm glad you're awake. I've been waiting to talk to you. And they set in, don't they? Goddamn useless turd. That's what you are. You're just bloody useless. You're going to get fired today. That's what you are. Ha ha. She's doing your best friend. You know that, don't you? Bloody voices going off in my bloody head. Can't stand. But I don't know. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't know I'm alcoholic. I don't know what powerless over alcohol is. I don't know nothing about anything. I know nothing about nothing till I get here to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not an idiot. I'm a smart man. I've got a great education. I've got letters after my name. I've got a PhD, for heaven's sake. Pretty heavy drinker. But I don't know nothing. I have no idea about nothing. Let go and let God. What? Turn it over to God. What? Pray to God. What? Pray to God. If I pray to him, he will know where I am. I've been ducking God for years. Why would I pray to anybody who was going to strike me blind for playing with the old dingling? Are you kidding? You must be nuts. I don't know nothing about nothing. You can laugh. See, I don't know nothing about this. I have no idea about this. I have no idea what's going on. You know, I've nothing about... I don't know about powerless. I don't know about hitting bottom. I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know that I'm in the process of recovery. I don't know that somebody... And you know, my best thinking never got me to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I know you guys say your best thinking got you in. My best thinking never got me here. I mean, I don't know why we say a lot of the things that we say in AA. You know, I call it lip-flapping party line bullshit. You know? I don't know where it comes from. My best thinking got me here. I can't imagine. I was like on a 3-day run. I just come out of a 3-day blackout. You know, I'm hurting. I'm grey. I'm antisocial. I'm dope sick. I'm just oozing booze and news from every pore in my body. And you think I looked in the mirror and said, Mick, your life is a mess. Better go to AA and sort the bugger out. It never happened. We say a lot of stuff around here, don't we? God won't give you more than you can handle. Do what? If God didn't give me more than I could handle, I wouldn't need his bloody help with it, would I? We say some weird stuff around here. I choose not to drink today. Do what? Choose not. I wish I could rely on choosing not to drink today. My beautiful book tells me I've lost the power of choice in drink. I choose not to drink today. I think we'll piss on you. Oh, I can choose not to drink today. That's easy. I did it 3 times in 1 day once. I can't rely on it, though. Can't rely on choosing not to drink. Just say no. There's a doozy. How about that one? Just say no. Just say no. I don't know where this comes from. I mean, people say stuff around here. It gets picked up and bantered around as if it means something. Just say no to a full-blown drunk like me. I will drink the news no matter what. No, I won't. Just say no to me. It's like telling that homeless dude on the corner, hey, homeless dude, just get a house. Get a bloody house, homeless dude. If I could get a house, I wouldn't be homeless. Yeah, and if I could just say no, I wouldn't be a dope fiend either. You know, I don't know where that comes from. We hear so much stuff that has nothing to do with nothing in Alcoholics Anonymous. I heard a classic, here it is, recently. A guy in a meeting said, we're all the same distance from the next drink. We're all just one drink away from a drunk. I said, what? Where did you get that from? Who told you that? Show me where that's documented somewhere. We're all the same distance from the next drink. We're all just one drink away from it. Who told you that? Why are you saying that? He said, I'm 23 years sober. That's my experience, strength, and hope. I said, shove it up your tush. 23 years sober, spewing out crap like that. Where'd you get that from?
I said, you're a bloody spy in the camp, you are. You're a bloody double agent, you are. The disease has let you stay sober so you can walk among us spreading shit like that. We're all the same distance from the next drink. Hey, all right, then, we'll win yourself some money, then. Look, I tell you what, I've got a shaky, smelly newcomer here with me one day, just first day. If we're all the same distance from the next drink, put $100 on him who drinks first. I'll put $100 on you, you put $100 on him. Win yourself some money. You want to take that bet? Well, no, he said, no, I know. I said, because you're full of crap, that's why. Flapping your bloody lips around here, saying jive-ass shit that don't mean nothing. I don't know where some of this stuff comes. Are you trying to tell me that this guy over here that's diligently working his program, that goes to meetings, that reads the book, that does his commitment, that puts a dollar in the basket, that works with newcomers, that's of love and service to himself and his group, and does the best he can on a daily basis, is the same distance from the next drink as this dick over here who ain't doing shit? Well, go and flap somewhere else. Otherwise, we'd all do nothing, wouldn't we? We'd all sit over here doing nothing, sucking and leeching off the next guy. Not, but my book don't tell me that. My book says I've got to get into actions, and it's absolutely imperative that we do this stuff to enable us to stay clean and sober ourselves. So I don't wither up and die over it. Yeah, we carry the message to you, but for me, that's what we do. Otherwise, why would we all sit around doing nothing, wouldn't we? If it was all the same distance. But people say crap like that. Well-meaning people, I guess. You know, they say loads of stuff around here. A guy I was sponsoring, speaking at a meeting this week down in LA. After he spoke, a guy, I guess he was well-meaning old-timer, came up and said, young man, we talk about alcoholism and alcohol. My man said, well, you know, I'm an alcoholic, but, you know, that's my story. I mean, you know, we talk about alcohol and alcoholism. He got kind of flummoxed. Well, I couldn't let it go. I went up to the old guy. I said, you know what? I'm going to listen very carefully to what you say. When you start talking about your health and your family, I'm going to remind you that we're talking about alcoholism. When you talk about your finances and your other things that are going on with you and your grandchildren and everything, I'm going to remind you that this is alcoholism. Got really uncomfortable. And it's strange that we only use the third tradition as it applies to drugs. We never ever mention anything else. We never apply our singleness of purpose to anything else, only drugs. And we use it as a club to beat people over the head with. Isn't that strange? I got Bill Wilson on a tape, on a videotape, and he's actually talking, and he's talking and describing June 10th, 1935, AA's birthday, and he's describing how when Dr. Bob had to do that operation, you know, on that poor bugger's proctor. You know, you know, Dr. Bob was a proctologist, you know, and he's just coming off a bender and he had the shakes. Had to get in there on site. How would you like him doing your proctor for you? With the shakes. And of course, Bill gave him a drink, and out of Bill's own mouth comes, I gave him a beer and a goofball. Sedatives. But nobody ever mentions the goofball. Everybody talks about the beer as being our AA birthday, Dr. Bob's last drink, but nobody talks about the goofball. Isn't that strange? Wow. We're quick enough to run young folk out of the program, tell them not to come here or to go somewhere else, if they dare to mention drugs. I've been speaking a lot lately in Ikipal conventions, you know. Little plug for Ikipal there. 5 times in the recent past, I've spoken at Ikipal, the various Ikipals, international conferences of young people for those who are not initiated. And I always make a point of asking. 5 conferences. These are the young folk in Alcoholics Anonymous. Young people in Alcoholics Anonymous, folks. Young folks in the young people coming up through the ranks. Young alcoholics. Some of them are 22 years old and got 10 years of sobriety. One girl was 10 years old and took a 3-year birthday cake. Young people in AA coming through the ranks. And some of them, you know, they ain't even legally able to get a drink. Some of them have been junkies and doing dope. It's much easier for them to get screwed up on drugs than it is to even buy a 6-pack. And you know what I ask? Is there anybody in the room that just and only drank alcohol? And in 5 conferences, not one hand has gone up. What am I going to tell them folk to not come here? Am I going to tell them to go somewhere else? No, I ain't going to do that. Why would I do that? That ain't the purpose of our singleness of purpose. And people say, well, if an alcoholic came to an AA meeting and heard a lot of drug talk, well, maybe he wouldn't relate and not come back. People say that. In 18 years of standing on the firing line, it ain't my experience. I ain't never ever heard an alcoholic say he went to an AA meeting, heard drug talk, didn't relate, so he ain't going back. Not one, ever. We have buried thousands that came to AA and never heard the drug talk. Yeah. And I'm one of them. Why I mention that is because on January the 15th, 1983, I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, don't know nothing about nothing, don't drink from that day to this. But I don't celebrate my clean and sober birthday on January the 15th, 1983, since my last drink. I don't celebrate my clean and sober birthday until May 8th, which is the day after May 7th, which is the day after I did any mind-altering chemicals that affect you from the neck up. Because I never heard in Alcoholics Anonymous that, yes, I heard alcohol, alcoholics, Alcoholics Anonymous, don't drink, didn't drink. Didn't bother me. Because I do loads of other shit. And I don't hear that you're not supposed to. I hear don't drink, so I didn't drink. But I carry on doing all the other stuff. I'm blessed and grateful that at that time, Cocaine Anonymous was being formulated by a group down there in Los Angeles that I was one of. Some of my friends were putting Cocaine Anonymous together. And when we were writing the formats for Cocaine Anonymous, we changed the first step to cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. And I went, wait, no, you can't put that in. It's cocaine, like alcohol. No, it's cocaine and all other mind-altering chemicals. No, can't do that. I don't mind quitting cocaine, but not everything else. I haven't had to do that in AA. What do you mean? Well, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't drink, but I carry on doing the other stuff. It wasn't until Cocaine Anonymous pointed out that it meant all other mind-altering chemicals. I hadn't drank for 4 months in Alcoholics Anonymous by this time, but I didn't hear it. Now, I know I got a hearing problem. I've never heard shit, right? I got a hearing problem. I don't know whether you got a hearing problem or not, but I do. Even out there, just before I came in here, some woman squeezed past me. She went, excuse me. I went, seduce you, I've got to speak at the meeting. I don't hear shit, right? Never have. Years before I got here, I don't hear. All my life, I've been in trouble because I don't collate stuff the same. I don't perceive things the same as other normal people. Years before I got here. When I was a young dude in my mum's house, I was living in my mum's house in northwest London, I would come home and I would be drunk and I would be just staggering around, you know, downstairs, and my mum would be in her bed. Now, I don't know whether you got a mum like my mum, or maybe you are a mum like my mum, but my mum in my house, you know, she never missed a trick. She knew every single thing that went on in that house. I really did think she had eyes in her ass. I mean, I did. And I would be stumble-bumming around downstairs, and of course she'd hear me, and she'd yell out down the stairs, drunk again, son! And I'd say, so am I, mum. Because I don't hear shit, right. And she'd say, I'm not bloody drunk, I've been in bed since 8 o'clock, the hell's wrong with you? And I still wouldn't get it. I think, well, why did she say she was drunk then? She's messing with me. Are there any other weirdos in here tonight? And the rest of you lying mothers, don't give me that. I know weirdos when I say. All my life people seem to say, what is wrong with you? Anybody remember that? What the hell's wrong with you? You're goddamn weird, you are. Do you know that? You're weird, you are. What is wrong with you? For Christ's sake, what's wrong with you? And they would ask me what's wrong with me as if I knew. What is wrong with you? They would ask me what's wrong with me as if I could give them an answer. What is wrong with you? You goddamn weird. What is wrong with you? Oh, actually, I've got a twofold disease. It's an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. I can't control my drinking. I don't know what's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? Why do you drink like you do? Why don't you drink like I do? I mean, I don't know, because I don't know nothing. See, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't know I'm alcoholic. I don't know. I heard people, Carl talked about it. People talking about drugs of choice. Drug of choice? What is that? Drug of choice? I can't even imagine anybody coming up to me out there and saying, "Hey, dude, what's your drug of choice?" Backstage, Big Finger Rick got some good shit. Certainly not my drug of choice, it's Jack Daniels. It never happened. I don't know from drug of choice. If I got a drug of choice, it's yours. Whatever you got is my drug of choice. And anything you got is my favourite. And that's usually followed by, "Is it good and will you front me some?" I remember being out on the street looking down on the floor, seeing the pill on the floor. And, "Oh, look at that. Ooh, swooped on this pill." Looked around for another one. And that's it. I don't know what it is. It's a pill. It could have been a bloody dog-worming pill for all I know. It was a pill. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know drug of choice or any of that kind of stuff. I have no idea. I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, don't drink, not drinking, took a 30-day chip. 30-day chip, not drinking. The guy who 12-stepped me, English rock and roll singer, he came to that meeting, 6 weeks he came to that meeting. He came to that meeting, he went, "Mick, what happened to you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Folk told me you were doing well. I used to call in from the road every day. They said how well you were doing, staying sober." I said, "I'm sober 6 weeks. He said, "You're off the wall." I said, "What do you mean I'm off the wall?" He said, "You're whacked, you are." I said, "What do you mean I'm whacked?" He said, "What are you on?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "You can't be like that on nothing." "What did you do since you got up this morning?" "Same as I do every morning." "What?" he said. I said, "I woke up. I smoked a doobie." He said, "What?" I said, "We had some good indica bud come in over the weekend. I always smoke a joint before I get." He said, "You can't do that." I said, "What do you mean I can't do that?" He said, "It's a mind-altering chemical." I said, "No, it ain't, it's pot." He said, "What a dick, keep coming back, for Christ's sake," he said. I said, "Screw you, it don't mean pot. I like pot. I ain't got a problem with pot. Anybody here do a little pot? Yeah, anybody do a lot? Yeah, no shit. Pot only does two things to me, makes me horny, makes me hungry." "Nothing wrong with that." "Well, some mornings you wake up with a sore arm and a bed full of pizza crust. But apart from that..." "Oh, you do that sick shit too, huh?" "Well, for the new folk in the room, I want you to know, 18 years later, I've changed. Don't eat pizza in bed anymore." "But I do all that. I'm not drinking. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, not drinking. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not drinking. But I like speed, crystal, crank. Anybody here do a little speed, crystal, crank? Anybody do a lot? Did it make your dick disappear too?" You could laugh. "You ain't going to get that in no Betty Ford recovery shirt, man." "Oh yeah, fire up some crystal, your dick will disappear." It's funny how the ladies seem to relate to that. All the dudes are going, "Not me, rock on, Tommy, you know." But I had to leave all that alone, and if you hear nothing else here tonight in this Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, here, that has to include all other mind-altering chemicals. If you're alcoholic, we have to leave everything alone, because if you don't, you might end up like me, totally, completely insane in Alcoholics Anonymous, without drinking and without a program. They say there's no greater pain than an alcoholic who has a belly full of booze and a head full of AA. I'll give you worse pain than that. You stick around here and get a sober belly without a head full of AA, and you will hurt like you don't want to hurt. You will hurt so bad. You will hurt so bad that you will have to drink again. Because that's what happens, folks. In Alcoholics Anonymous, sober people drink again. People living in sobriety don't. You better have something to replace the alcohol and drugs. If you're alcoholic, remember I'm saying, alcoholic. Now, I know there's some well-meaning people, alcoholics, good alcoholics, that didn't do drugs, and I want you to know, if you're an alcoholic who didn't do drugs in Alcoholics Anonymous, it is not a requirement. If you're an alcoholic who didn't do drugs in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm really glad you're here, we need you. If you're an alcoholic that just and only drank alcohol, a specialist, you know, I'm really glad you're here. I ain't no specialist, chemical gourmet, me. Told my sponsor, chemical connoisseur, I said. He said, no, Mick, you're a chemical kind of sewer is what you are. But in the beautiful book that you taught me about, on page 86, it said, your thought life will be on a much higher plane, for after all, God gave us brains to use. See, now, I didn't know that. I didn't know that in Alcoholics Anonymous, not drinking but doing all the other mind-altering chemical, I couldn't get any recovery because I'm giving God the finger. Do you think I knew I was giving God the finger? You think that was a consciousness that I had about me? I don't know I'm giving God the finger, but what else would you call it? In Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm not drinking, doing all the other stuff. The book said, your thought life will be on a much higher plane, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Well, if God gave me a brain to use, he gave me the brain he wants me to have. Well, he didn't give me a brain and not you a brain. He gave me a brain he wants me to have, so he gave you a brain he wants you to have. If he gave me, he gave you. If he gave you, he gave me. Now, what else would you call it other than giving God the finger by taking a mind-altering chemical? Wouldn't it be like, well, thanks for my lovely recovery and the fellowship and all of my life back, God, but that brain you gave me, look, don't think you did a very good job with that. Think I'll change it. Think I'll alter it. Think I want to take this mind-altering substance because that brain, I want to change it. Don't think you did very good with that. So, like, you're number one with me, though. What else would you call it? I promise you, you can get no recovery around here giving God the finger by taking a mind-altering chemical of any kind. And if you're alcoholic, remember, you guys that want to complain about what you hear here, if you're alcoholic, don't confuse me with anybody ain't alcoholic. I always drank, but I never only drank. And I had to leave all other mind-altering chemicals alone because in Alcoholics Anonymous, I ended up totally and completely insane doing other things without a program of recovery. And you think I knew that I was powerless over alcohol? I never knew. I never had a clue. I never had a clue about what powerless meant. And guess what, folks? I ask you, and you don't either. Some of you do, and some of you taught me, but the majority of us don't. The majority of us don't know the basic, simple things that's in the book about the program. Simple things like, A, what is it about me that makes me alcoholic? B, powerless. C, hitting bottom. Insanity, power greater than self. What are all these simple, basic things that I ask you guys, and you guys don't know? Guess what? Some of you are sponsors and don't know. In my houses, I got 5 sober living houses. This week I got 67 newcomer residents. Nearly every one of them's got a sponsor. I have more problems with the sponsors than I have with the residents. Because somebody's been asked to be a sponsor, now they're supposed to know some shit. But they don't, but they got to pretend that they do. And then they get all agitated if they can't come up to par. I asked the guy today, what is it that makes you alcoholic? What is it about you that makes you alcoholic? No, he didn't know. Now, in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, on page 30, it said, we learn we had to fully concede to our innermost self that we were alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery. It's the first step in recovery, but it's not the first of the 12. We've got to come from a space of being alcoholic to then ask, what do I have to do? It tells me so on page 20. If you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do? Well, I've got to come from the space of being alcoholic to then ask, what do I have to do? And if you are somebody who knows, they'll tell you, you have to do a 12-step spiritual program. That's what we have, because that's what we read out tonight. Did you read it? Did you hear it? If you want what we got and are prepared to go to any lengths to get it, that's what we got. A spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I hear people talking about having awakenings and miracles and breakthroughs. They ain't doing the steps, they ain't done the steps. So they got what we got. Because we say, if you want what we got, well, what is that? Well, most people don't know. The guy I asked today didn't know. Well, what it is in the 12th step. If you are having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, that's what we got. As of this isn't a theory, it's a way of life. It's what we do, it's what we keep on doing, continue to do, and we live it. We have a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. Now, I know people who ain't done the steps and ain't doing the steps. Now, I'm glad they got what they got, but it ain't what we got, because what we got is as a result of the steps. And if you want what we got, do what we do, which is the steps, because that's where we got it. What is it about you that makes you alcoholic? Didn't know. He knew what he did because he was alcoholic. He could tell me all the alcoholic addictive behaviour he did, but he didn't know what it was about him that made him alcoholic. How could he fully concede to his innermost self that he was one if he didn't even know what it was about him that made him one? Now, where have we got to tell people? Because I tell you why this is so important. Well-meaning people say, what I hear the most of is, it doesn't matter, it's not important, we never did that, just keep coming back, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, something has to be important. 95% of us are not making a program that really works. 95% of the folk who get here don't stick around over the long haul. Something has to be important, don't it? And I guarantee if you're standing outside a liquor store or a crack house, 2 o'clock in the morning when the demons are screaming, you better have something more going for you than the fact that you don't want to do it. I didn't know what it was about me that made me alcoholic. In one of my houses, I've got 2 parakeets, a green one and a blue one. Bill and Bob's their names. I've taught them how to speak. They speak, they stand by the cage, they screech out, I'm an alcoholic! They're bloody parakeets is what they are. But they could say they're alcoholic. I ask them, what is it about you that makes you alcoholic? They don't know. See, I didn't know. But that guy who told me about the duck and the eagle told me, and I'm glad he did, because although I didn't understand what he meant, I knew I could grasp it. Because that was what it was, wasn't it? The duck and the eagle. That was what made me an alcoholic. See, I understood. Without knowing what it was, I understood. See, alcohol changes my perception of reality. That's what alcohol does for me. Alcohol changes my perception of reality. And if it don't do that for you, you ain't one of us. And you can't become alcoholic till you cross over the invisible line. You can't cross over the invisible line unless you're alcoholic. Weird shit, that, isn't it? That's a weird thing. You can't become alcoholic until you cross over the invisible line. You can't cross over the invisible line unless you're alcoholic. But what makes me an alcoholic is not what I do because I'm alcoholic. What makes me an alcoholic is that alcohol changes my perception of reality. When I feel like a duck, I drink and go swooping around looking for prey. Or I call it a nerd remover. Alcohol removes the nerdness. I feel like a nerd, I drink and I don't feel like a nerd. I feel like a nerd and I drink and I don't care if I'm a nerd. I feel like a nerd and I drink and you're a bloody nerd. Screw you. Or Mary in my home group puts it as well as I've ever heard anybody put it. She says when she drinks, she feels wittier, prettier and tittier. Alcohol changes my perception of reality. That's what alcohol does for me. And it can't do that for me unless it's doing something to me, which is taking me up to and over the invisible line and become twofold. So you can't be born an alcoholic, and all the genes in the bloody world ain't going to make you one if you don't have the effect of alcohol on you. So do you think I know this? You think I know that when I get here? I don't know that. But you guys taught me, and I realised. And that's what I was, alcoholic. And I've been alcoholic a long time. The beautiful book taught me that. Well, I don't know I'm powerless over alcohol. I don't even know what powerless is. I asked you guys. You guys don't. I asked a guy with 12 years today what powerless meant. He couldn't tell me. Had no idea. Could say that he was. He's got 12 years of sobriety, but he don't know what powerless is. Didn't know. Thought he did. Said he did. Felt he did, but never knew. Never knew what powerless, and I didn't either. I never knew what powerless was. How would I? Do you know in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, the word powerless is only mentioned once, and that's in the step, the very first step. Otherwise, the word powerless ain't even mentioned in the program Alcoholics Anonymous. Power is mentioned over and over and over. My first step is we admitted we were powerless and my life had become unmanageable. Not that I am powerless and it is unmanageable, but I don't know what powerless means. I have no idea that I'm powerless over alcohol and I don't know what it means. So I asked, and you guys didn't seem to tell me, you certainly didn't satisfy me, but a couple of you did, and I gravitated to the winners. Like the beautiful book says, you'll be amazed how the right answers come after you have tried this for a while. Well, guess what, folks? If there's right answers, there must be what? Yeah, wrong buggers, that's right. And where are they? In the same bloody place, that's where. So I want the right answers, and some of you guys told me, because I don't know that powerless, you know, I asked folk what powerless is, no idea. But I never knew either. I don't know that powerless over alcohol, remember we're dealing with alcohol specifically, not people, places and things. Being powerless over people, places and things has nothing to do with nothing. Everybody is and is things, nothing to do with alcoholism addiction. You know, Granny Tramp is powerless over Jeffro. The bloody Pope's powerless over wearing that hat. The Russian dude with the purple blob on his head's powerless over purple blobs. Nothing to do with alcoholism. But where the danger comes, when we relate powerless over everything, people, places and things, sometimes I'm not completely powerless over you. Sometimes I can manipulate you and twist you and get you to do what I want. Sometimes I can cheat and lie and steal from you. So I'm not completely powerless all the time, completely over everything. Now, if I think that about alcohol in any way, shape or form, I'm screwed. I got to know better than that. See, I'm powerless over alcohol. What does that mean? Well, what is the source and what is the power over everything? Well, we know in the book it says he either is or he isn't. The book said, remember, there's one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Well, if I got to find him, it means I ain't got him, doesn't it? You think I knew that? Not in the rest of my affairs, as far as alcohol is concerned. The disease I got along the path of life gets me to abandon God and spirituality so that I end up with none, as far as alcohol is concerned. So I have no God in my life as far as alcohol is concerned. So I can't let go and let God, like you told me, and I can't turn it over God. I've got no God to do that with. I am powerless over alcohol, which means I've got no God in my life when it comes to alcohol. I've got God in the rest of my affairs. I know that. I know he has to be there because I'm here. So I know he's there. But as far as alcohol's concerned, I have no God in my life. Powerless over alcohol. So alcohol's the power of my life and I have to succumb to its demands. Can't just beat it. I heard people today talking about how they absolutely know they couldn't drink anymore. Well, if they knew they couldn't drink anymore and stopped drinking, they ain't powerless. They can do what they want to do. But I can't. I got to know that I'm powerless over it, but it ain't powerless over me. It can and does make me do what I already don't want to do. That's what powerless, the results of being powerless was. I was powerless over alcohol because it made me do shit that I didn't want to do, including it. When I absolutely didn't want to do it, when every fibre of my body was against doing it, when every desire in the world was to not do it, I did it anyway. Did you do that? I don't want to drink today, but I got a disease that does. And that disease that does is more powerful than my desire not to. The only requirement for membership is a desire to quit. And I got to have a desire to quit, but I can't rely on it. I got to have a desire to quit, but I can't rely on it. It's like hope. I can have hope, but I can't rely on it. I got to not want to do it and then do these steps and this work so that I don't do what I already don't want to do. And if I don't do these steps and this work or don't know what these steps and this work is, I will do what I don't want to do because the disease I got that I'm powerless over will make me do what I don't want to do. You think I knew that when I got here? See, God, me and God kept getting drunk. Me and God kept getting loaded. Me and God did loads of shit. Me and God used to rob banks. In fact, that's the only time I used to talk to him when I was doing something wrong. I'd be running in the bank with a gun. I'd say, please God, let everything go okay. Me and God kept getting loaded. Me, you and God stayed sober. Thank you, Nancy. In the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know where there's no mention, there is absolutely no mention in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous about hitting bottom. None. Hitting bottom is not mentioned in the program Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think that that's a crying shame because it's not mentioned, so most of us don't know what it means. And most of us ain't done it. We think we have. We believe we have and we say we have. But we actually haven't. Most people don't even know what hitting bottom's all about. They think they do, they say they do, but they actually don't. And you know why it's so absolutely imperative, like in the 12 and 12 it says, why all this insistence that every alcoholic must hit bottom first? Because it's the process that brings the power into your life as far as alcohol is concerned. You think I knew that? I never knew that. I ask folk, give it to me, give me your bottom. You'd be amazed at what you guys tell me. I ask folk, give me your bottom, give me what your bottom was. Briefly, what was your bottom? Oh, well, I was hustling the Broadway, feet to the curb, trying to earn a dollar. I was broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. I was locked up in the penitentiary, married to Bubba. I was in deep tops, the kids had been took away from me, I had no money, I was like destitute, blah, blah, nothing to do with him, bottom. We say collectively that everybody's bottom better, it was different. Different for everybody. Better not be different for everybody, not if you understand what hitting bottom is. Everybody bottom better be the same, if you truly know and are being taught. And if you don't know, you better learn. See, everybody's bottom better not be different. It better. Our outside circumstances and conditions may be different, but bottom is not about outside circumstances and conditions. We think it is because of our selfish, self-centered, self-seeking attitude and mind and thinking. But hitting bottom ain't about outside circumstances and conditions. Hitting bottom's an inside job, not an outside circumstance. But when I ask folk about bottom, they tell me about the outside stuff that's been going on and how far down they went and how much they lost. Nothing to do with hitting bottom. That's why those celebrities and those millionaires I sponsor have to hit bottom just as devastatingly as those guys on Skid Row I work with. Because hitting bottom's an inside job, not an outside circumstance. But we think that it is. And what happened to me on January the 15th, 1983, was that I hit bottom. I didn't consciously know about it, but the book said the consciousness of your decision will come to you. See, on January the 15th, 1983, in desperation and despair, and maybe something like this happened to you, because a lot of people do reach this state. In desperation and despair, those outside circumstances sometimes enable us to become capable of hitting bottom. But in and of themselves, they are not the bottom. And on January the 15th, 1983, I can remember it so clearly. I hurt so bad. Broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. Desperately alarmed. Full of guilt, shame, remorse, anxiety, fear, worry, loneliness, apartness, separateness. Anybody relate to that? And I can remember going, help me, please, help me, what is wrong with me? I can't stand it anymore, help, please. Anybody know what I mean? And ask for help. That's what hitting bottom is. Asking for help. ASK, Ask Saving Kit. That's what your Ask Saving Kit is. Help, H-E-L-P, His Ever-Loving Presence. And you know what? On January the 15th, 1983, it just seemed as though I went, help me, please. Without knowing who I was talking to, without knowing what I was saying, without knowing anything about nothing, the old man seemed to be looking over my shoulder. Today I know what you guys described was that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And he seemed to say to me, Mick, you silly bugger, I've been waiting for you to ask. Now get yourself over that AA meeting. Sent me to you. I asked for help. And he sent me to you. That's why I know today that God and the power are different. God and the power are different. I don't know why we have problems with the God shit. There's no reason for it. I asked for help and he sent me to you. Because here was the power provided by him sufficient to enable me to not have to drink. Which was restoring me to sanity because you guys described insanity as repeating the same behavior and expecting a different result. Drinking. So if drinking was insanity, to be restored to sanity meant not drinking. And here was the power to enable me to do that. You can decide yourself where it came from or who provided it, but you can't deny that it's here because you're here now. And as you reach out, you can touch it. And as you touch it, you become a part of it. Here it is, right here, right now. Me plus you was a power greater than me. You plus us was a power greater than you. Together we could do what I couldn't do alone. I couldn't stay sober, you couldn't stay sober, but together we could stay sober. Here we could do that. You think I knew that when I got here?
Give me some water.
That's why it works for all of us. Doesn't matter whether you're atheist, agnostic, black, white, tall, small, man, woman, ugly, good looking, it doesn't matter, man. It works for us all, because here it is, you can decide yourself. In the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, on page 93, it says, he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. That is a condition, my friends. This book ain't unconditional, like we keep hearing around here. This book is totally conditional. Provided it makes sense to him. That's a condition. That's like the judge saying to me, yes, Mick, you can have bail, provided you pay your fine. Oh, you think I can turn around to the judge and say, well, I'll get round to it when I'm ready. He said, yeah, well, you'll get out when I'm ready. See, this book that says of itself, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Well, it may have bloody well meant to be, but it ain't. It's got clear-cut, precise instructions, directions and rules to follow. And they're right there in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know what? You know how many of you can tell me what your understanding and perception of a power greater than yourself is? Practically none. You can say you do, but you don't. And you know what? We've got to have something going for us. We've got to have something doing here. We've got to start carrying this message, not those messages. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. And our unity has to come first from our message, the message of Alcoholics Anonymous in the beautiful book. But it's no good slipping past it and jumping over it and pretending it don't matter and saying it ain't necessary. Something has to be bloody necessary, don't it? 95% of us ain't making it, for Christ's sake. Something's got to be going on, because not enough of us are doing the work necessary to pass on to the newcomer this message. And we ain't telling what's right, and we ain't saying basic, simple stuff that needs to be done. And we've built up like a jargon in AA that allows us to exonerate ourselves from any responsibility for the newcomer getting loaded. Well, I guess he didn't want it. I guess he's when he's ready, I guess he just has to keep coming back. And so consequently, newcomers think that that's the message. Keep coming back, and it ain't. So they literally become keep coming backers. Keep coming back ain't the message. Sticking and staying is the message. That's what we got to do. I don't know this. I don't have a clue about this. I don't know nothing about nothing. Not till I get here and you guys tell. I've been a load of places. I've been all over places. But I don't know nothing about nothing. You guys taught me about it. You guys taught me about what to do and how to do it. I told you my name's Mickey Bush. I'm an alcoholic. I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I know what's wrong with me and I know what to do about it. I never knew that when I got here. I don't know nothing about gratitude. And what did I know about gratitude, for Christ's sake? I do today. I should have known all along, but I didn't. When you got a name like Mickey Bush, you know, you get grateful real quick. I mean, think about it. Mickey Bush. Mickey Bush. Puts me somewhere between a mouse and a president. Anywhere in that spectrum is where you're likely to find me. You can laugh. Mickey Bush. Really grateful. I never knew it, but I've had something to be grateful for ever since I was christened. Because I am really grateful my name ain't Harry. You're a rotten lot laughing at that. How would you like to go through life with a name like Harry Bush? Yeah. But you think I know this when I get here? I don't know nothing about nothing. You guys teach me and show me. Powerless? I don't know I'm powerless. Hitting bottom? I don't know about hitting bottom. Insane? I've been incarcerated in places bloody cuckoos wouldn't fly over, man. But that wasn't the insanity you taught me about. I don't know about making a decision. I've warped my mind into such an obsession for destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it. How can I make a straight choice in three with a warped mind? But in one and two, we unwarp our mind to become capable of making a decision in three, a straight decision in three, about my will and my life, which is my thinking and my actions. My will is my thinking, my life is my actions. Everything I have done, am doing and will do. Everything I wish I'd done, would like to be doing and hope I'll do. And the book and the third step are different. The third step and the book contradict themselves or say different. Because I made a mistake in step three. I thought it was about turning my life over to God. So I turned my life over to God, the bugger turned it back, said, I don't want it, I gave it to you. What are you giving it back to me for? But the book says we turned our will and our life over to the care of God, which was a totally different thing. See, my old white Jaguar sports car taught me about it. I've got a white Jaguar sports car, 12-cylinder white Jaguar sports car. The license plate on it is AA12X12, AA12 and 12. 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 cylinders. Nothing wrong with that. White Jaguar sports car. I love it. I'm a limey. Why wouldn't I? But guess what? It's a limey piece of shit is what it is. And it breaks down all the time. So I have to take it back to the mechanic I got it from and put it in his care for fixing and repair. But I don't give the bugger my car. It's my car. I own it. DMV made me responsible. I have to pay for it. But I take it back to the mechanic I got it for fixing and repair. Same as my life. I got it. It's my life. But I need its help to fix and repair. But in the care of God. Totally different thing. You think I knew that? I never knew that. I never had a clue about none of this. I never knew how to apply these principles to all my affairs. My sponsor told me about all that. I had to stop doing all the stuff I was doing. You guys said, Mick, you've got to stop doing that. I said, what do you mean I've got to stop doing it? He said, we've got an illness, a disease, we're sicker than other people. That's what stopped me. That's S-T-O-P. Sicker than other people. Well, how do I do that? We get a gift. Gift of sobriety. I said, I like gift. What kind of a gift? G-I-F-T. God is forever there. Holy shit. Well, what's he there for? He's there to help us. H-E-L-P. His ever-loving presence. Help us what? I never knew about sober. I never knew what sober was. I never had a clue. I never had a clue what sober was. I said, you get it from the gifts of sobriety. G-I-F-T-S. Get it from the steps. Steps? What steps? S-T-E-P-S. Solution to every problem sober. Well, have I got to do steps? Yeah, you've got to do steps. Why have I got to do steps? Because if you stop drinking and drugging, don't replace the alcohol and drugs with the steps, you go crazy, you go nuts. Nuts? What do you mean nuts? N-U-T-S. Not using the steps. Well, why do I need to use the steps so you stay sober? What do you mean it's sober? S-O-B-E-R. Son of a bitch. Everything's real. That's what sober is. Wow. Well, how do I do that? Get a sponsor. Sponsor? What do you mean sponsor? S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. That's what a sponsor is. Well, what shall I ask him? Ask him what's in the book. Book? What book? This book. Big book. Big book? What do you mean, big book? B-I-G-B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our old knowledge. Well, what's in the book? Program. Program? What do you mean, program? P-R-O-G-R-A-M. People relying on God, relaying a message. Wow. Well, what do you want to be sober for? What do I want to be sober for? Because I came here a hopeless dope fiend, now I'm a hopeless hope fiend. That's why I want to be sober. What do you mean, hope? H-O-P-E. Happy our program exists. Who's happy they got a program here? Yeah, no shit. Maybe H-O-P-E is hearing other people's experiences. Because that's why we come here, don't we? That's why we come here and join these conventions and go to our meetings and work one alcoholic to another alcoholic. Hunchback. Hope everything comes out all right. We come to Alcoholics Anonymous to share the language of the heart, the laughter that you're giving me back. H-E-A-R-T, healing, enjoying and recovering together. That's what we do, don't we? We come here to share one alcoholic to another alcoholic. Those folk out there, they don't know. They ain't got what we got. My own mum don't know. My own mum don't know me as well as you guys never even seen me before. Every year I go back home to London, England, see my mum. She's 85 years of age. Every year it is like this year, I walk in my mum's house and say, Mum, I'm 18 years sober. She says, so is the cat. She don't give me a pat on the back for not doing something I shouldn't have done anyway. But that's why we come here, don't we? Because that's the magic of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's where we get the power from. That's why it was provided. like nothing else could, like when Bill and Bob came together and magic occurred that had never happened before. Look, when two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, which is the third factor, and without the third factor it don't count. If you ain't got the third factor, which is for the purpose of recovery, your ass could be in the seat all you like and get sicker and sicker and sicker. And if you think it's going to come in through osmosis, it ain't. Yeah. When one alcoholic comes together with another alcoholic for the purpose of recovery, it's written, and we never wrote it, but we depend upon it probably more than any other society in the world. It's written, when any two are gathered in my name, there I will be in your midst. So when one alcoholic comes together with another alcoholic for the purpose of recovery, God comes in our midst and produces a power greater than either of us. So it's produced by us, but it's greater than us, and we can absolutely depend upon it. The beautiful book says, with this attitude, you cannot fail. Think I knew that when I got here? We can do what I couldn't do. In fact, if you turn, have you ever noticed when you write the word me, if you flip that over, it becomes we, doesn't it? You ever notice that? Strange, isn't it? And we can work this unmanageability in the second half of the first step. The unmanageability of that. The unmanageability of my life, which I totally didn't know about. My sponsor, I love my sponsor. I've had my sponsor so many years. I love him. My life is greatly enhanced, you know, by him in my life. I have a security and a love for my sponsor that I don't know how to describe to you. And he teaches me things. He teaches me, I didn't go for somebody who had what I wanted or that I related to. I'm a totally illegal person. All my life I've been totally illegal. My sponsor's a judge. A justice, actually. An appellate court judge. You know? I didn't go for somebody who had what I wanted. I went for somebody who was opposite to what I am to teach me different to what I do. And he does. Like how to apply these principles to all my affairs. I don't know how to do that. How do I apply these principles to all my affairs? We're talking about alcohol. If stopping drinking is the solution. It's the base bottom line. But in the beautiful book it says, elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A far greater demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations and affairs. So if you're satisfied to say, I'm sober today, great, but you're at the beginning. And if you want to stay at the beginning, you can be like that bloody shaky, smelly newcomer. Stay there if you want. My sponsor teaches me how to apply these principles to all my relationships, personal relationships. Now, I don't know about you guys up here in Sacramento. Perhaps you don't have personal relationship problems. I've seen a few of you vamping around here today. Maybe you don't have problems in that area. We do down there in LA. I wrote a word for relationships. R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P. Really exciting love affair turns into outrageous nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril. Oh, you relate to that, huh? You think I can handle that shit on my own? I use the word shit a lot, have you noticed? Because it's a message carrier. I write words, shit, one of them. S-H-I-T, simply how I think. I can't rely on my thinking. Some of you think I'm full of crap. I wrote a word for you too. C-R-A-B, carrying resentments against people. Powerless, why would I say I'm powerless? Well, I hear people walking around Alcoholics Anonymous claiming they're powerless. I mean, why are they doing that? To me, it sounds like the disease getting you to deny the power that's in your life. Why would we do that? I'm not going to deny the power that's in my life. I'm going to make a conscious contact with the power like you guys taught me to do. I ain't going to deny by saying I'm powerless. Why would I do that? None of my troops, I don't teach them that. I got so much bloody power over alcohol, I don't know what to do with it, for Christ's sake. I said to my sponsor, what should I do with all this power over alcohol? Give it away, he said. Go up there to Sacramento and give it to them. They won't bloody want it anyway. Powerless, why would I say I'm powerless? Think about it. In and of myself I was powerless. Broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted. Destitute in every department. No God in my life as far as alcohol was concerned. In and of myself I was powerless. So I asked for help. The power came into my life and sent me to you. So now I've got a power in my life as far as alcohol is concerned. He sent me to you, a 12-step spiritual fellowship. You introduced me to a big book. In the big book was a program. The 12 steps program. You told me I'd need help with that to get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. Today I have sponsorees. So I got a God in my life. I got a fellowship. I got a program. I got steps in my life. I got a big book. I got a sponsor. I got sponsorees. I got so much bloody power over alcohol, I don't know what to do with it, for Christ's sake. One guy down there in Phoenix went to his sponsor, said, Mickey Bush said he got power over alcohol. His sponsor said, yeah, well, we all know about Mickey Bush and what he says. Let him take a drink of alcohol and see how much power over alcohol he's got. Ha, ha, ha. I said to that kid, I said, did you hear that sound when he said that? He said, what sound? I said, the sound of a mind slamming shut to a new idea. No, he said. I said, get the hell away from that old fart. He needs a brain transplant. I said, if he hears that when I say I got power over alcohol, he's hearing that if I take a drink, I'll have power over it, he's bloody nuts. I ain't saying that at all. What I am saying is that before I pick up the drink, so that I don't pick up the drink, I got the power before I drink to not have to drink. And if I got it, you got it. You think I knew that when I got here? I never knew that when I got here. I never had a clue about nothing. But I did come and join you, and you guys passed on to me, like you have today with your laughter and your sharing and your relating. You've got to be careful of that bloody laughter, by the way, because they say if you're laughing, you're relating. And if you're relating to a sicko like me, there ain't no doubt about you, pal. Because I don't get through to no well people. Well people don't laugh at my shit. My mum don't laugh at this shit. You think my mum laughs at seemingly hopeless situations out of the past, like the beautiful book says? You know, I couldn't outread in my favourite page this week, page 132. So we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and have been given the power to help others. We've recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and been granted the grace and the power to help the next guy. What a gift. Yeah. You think my mum laughs at seemingly hopeless situations out of the past? You think my mum laughed when I come home and puke on the cat? Because I'm a puker too, any other pukers here? Yeah. Ain't no bloody dribble-ass puker, you know. I'm the same kind of puker as Carl described last night. Directional, mate. Large chunks. Projectiles. Have you ever puked on a cat? That's weird shit, I'll tell you. You come home and you're all drunk and you know it's coming because you can feel it coming. And you swallow it back down. What, did yours taste better than mine? But then it's coming, you can feel it coming, it's going to be a gusher. Right on the cat. You look at it all weird like that. And you think, holy shit, I don't remember eating that. And then the cat gets up and runs off. Or bits of carrot hanging on it and shit, you know. That's weird shit, isn't it? Where does that carrot come from? Carrot and corn. You ever see a carrot and corn? Think my mum laughed at that shit. My mum don't laugh at that shit. She does laugh because I'm recovered. She does have a joy about me today because I'm successful and her kids living in America are successful. And she looks at the flag that you guys sent and the stars and stripes that you flew over America from the dome of the Capitol building and the plaque that says this flag flew over America to celebrate Mickey Bush's birthday. And you sent her that. And she's 85 years of age and she's got all her little Darby and Joan friends and they all come around and they all sit around and they drink their tea. And tell lies, don't they? But they're entitled, aren't they? Tell us some more stories about Mickey in America, Mary. What's he doing? Where is he? Because I tell her, I'll get a tape of this conference and I'll send it to her and I hope that she won't tell me off for saying shit too much. But her chest goes out and she tells all her friends how well I'm doing because she's proud and she's honoured. How does that happen? How does a guy like me who comes out of chains for the criminally insane, locked up in nut wards, how does that happen? How do I get to be clean and sober? You know,
sitting in the speaker's chair on the floor of the House of Representatives. I did that, you know. Sitting in your speaker's chair on the floor of the House of Representatives. Congressmen all around me, I'm looking out, I'm thinking, holy shit, what am I doing here? I laughed so hard. I went into a laughing fit and I laughed so hard. Because, I I've been certified insane. I come out of a nut ward for the criminally insane in chains. And here I am sitting in the speaker's chair on the floor of the House of Representatives in America, in the most powerful nation in the world. And it just struck me as funny. I laughed so hard I slipped off the chair. Congressman from Seattle picked me up. He said, Mick, what the hell's wrong with you? What's the matter? I went, you'll never understand. He said, what's up? I said, how does a guy who's nuts get to sit in the speaker's chair on the floor of the House of Representatives? He looked at me weird. He said, it happens every day. But isn't that the truth? How does that happen? How do guys like us get to do this and get to be around this? How do we just get to stay clean and sober year in, year out, doing what we do? I've reached a stage in my sobriety, I'm just over 18 years clean and sober, where, you know, nothing, I've elapsed everything I've ever done in my entire life. There is nothing as I look back over my life that hasn't been replaced and passed in sobriety. You know, there is nothing, there is not one single thing that I can possibly think of that would be improved by drinking and drugging. And thousands I can think of that would be harmed. There is nothing about anything. Everything I've ever done has been surpassed in recovery since I've been with you. I'm not broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted today. I'm a very wealthy guy today, and I have more than I need of everything I need. Everything I need, I have more of it than I need. Especially a conscious context, which you guys taught me. You guys taught me about it. Every single day, the very first thought, including today, the very first thought that comes into my mind, I touch base with the old man. I say, hey, old man, what you got for me today? He seems to say to me, come on, kid, we've got some work to do, and sends me to you. On January the 15th, 1983, when I had absolutely nothing, he sent me here to get what I needed. Now I got everything, he sends me back to give what you guys need. I thought it was a goddamn tarantula walking across. Powerless? Why would I say I'm powerless? I ain't going nowhere. I'm Mickey Bush. I'm alcoholic. I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I know what's wrong with me and I know what to do about it. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here with you, where I belong, where I was sent, where I'm best off being, where I need to be, where I like being the most. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here with you. I'll risk the Pacific Group not liking me. I'm staying right here with you, where I belong. I ain't going nowhere. And you know what? You guys, from the very first day, I've been an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous from day one. And I never realized it, but I was in the process, and I hope you are too. And if you ain't getting in the process of recovery, which is into action. When I got home from that very first meeting on January the 15th, 1983, I got home, and I had two telephone numbers in my hand. And guess what? I called one of them. Now, I know you don't, but I did. I called up this guy, and the guy answered the phone. I said, I don't know who you are, pal, I said, but I got your number in my hand. He said, I recognise your accent. He said, you was at the meeting at lunchtime today. I said, oh, was you at the meeting? He said, yeah, I gave you the number. Smart, see? He said, what about them meetings? He said, what about them? I said, do you go to them meetings? Yes, he said, I go to them meetings. I said, how long have you been going to them meetings? He said, 4 months. I said, what does that mean? He said, I'm 4 months sober. Oh. I said, do you go to them meetings at night? He went, yeah. I said, can I go to one of them meetings with you tonight? He said, well, normally I would. He said, but tonight I've made arrangements to go to a movie, so I'm not going tonight. I went all little, like you do when you feel rejected and stuff, you know. All little inside, you know what I mean? And he picked up on it like we do. He went, holy shit, he said. Holy shit, I said, what's the matter? He said, you may have just saved my life. I said, no, I never done nothing. Because I don't know, it's a disease of denial. D-E-N-I-A-L. Don't even notice I am lying. Or don't even notice it's a lie. I don't notice when I'm lying and I don't notice when I'm being lied to, especially by a disease that tells me I ain't got it.
That's why I couldn't self-diagnose this disease like you say I should. It's a self-diagnosed disease. How could I do that? How could I self-diagnose a disease that I'm powerless over and tells me I ain't got it? How could I do that? Couldn't do that. You guys had to help me with that. So he's on the phone. He went, holy shit. He said, a newcomer wants to go to a meeting and I've got 4 months and I tell him, no, I'm going to a movie. Oh, God, the slip starts somewhere. Where do you live? I'm coming around to pick you up. I said, what about your movie? He said, you're much more important than a movie. I said, I am. Holy shit. My best friends had just told me to piss off. You guys who didn't even know me was telling me I was more important than the plans you'd made. He came round to my house. I went out to his car. He was a weird bugger. I went out to his car. He had a little red Fiat car. But he had it all decked out like a Mercedes. It had a big emblem on it and shit and wheels and shit. I didn't know I was getting my first, like, indoctrination into alcoholic grandiosity. But he took me to a meeting, got me a copy of a beautiful book called Alcoholics Anonymous, just like this one. Love this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Still got it. Got lots of miles on it, too. You know, there's a little follow-up to that story. Just recently I was down in San Fernando Valley where I got my houses, and we do things together. Like the book says, we absolutely insist on enjoying our life, and we do things together, like Carl does in his houses. Like people like Keith and other people, and I hope you do up here. We do things together. And we had a picnic down there in Balboa Park and took a lot of the trips out of the houses, and we were having a good time. I bumped into old Zach. I said, oh, Zach, what a nice surprise. Fancy seeing you here. What are you doing over on this side of the hill? He said, I'm the speaker at the meeting today. And guess what, folks? He's still 4 months ahead of me. The actions we take, isn't it? The actions we take. You know, I guess I've been yakking it up here long enough. I suppose all your bladders are full and pressurised, aren't they? I mean, I could have sat down after a couple of minutes, just told you what Alcoholics Anonymous mean, and it would have been enough. Because that's all there is, right here in this beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It has the total message that we need. Message, M-E-S-S-A-G-E. M-E, me, steps, sponsor and God every day. That's what the message is, isn't it? It's all right here in the book. Look, Alcoholics Anonymous. Look, A-L-C-O-H-O-L-I-C-S. Alcoholics. A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-U-S. Alcoholics Anonymous. This is what it truly means. Look. A life centered on helping others lives in complete sobriety. Actions, not our names, yield maintenance of unity and service. And that's all there is, isn't it? You know, don't endorse my bullshit. Don't let me get away with stuff that ain't out of the beautiful book. Don't let me tell you messages that ain't pertinent to our recovery. I won't with you. But I'm going to leave you with two statements that you told me on the very first day that I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. On the very first day I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I approached that meeting. Two dudes were standing outside. Today I know them as greeters. I didn't know about them then. But as I approached that meeting, a guy stepped forward with his hand out. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, what? He said, welcome to AA. I said, what? And the other guy said, keep coming back. I said, what for? He said, we love you. I said, I bet you do. When dudes tell you they love you in West Hollywood, it takes on a new meaning, you know? But you know what? I travelled all over the world. In August, Carl and I are going to Iceland. They've never, ever had a conference of any kind in Iceland, and we're going to go and do the first ever conference like this in Iceland. Yeah. From Iceland to Australia. I was in Australia at one of those IKIPA conferences. And everywhere in between. And no matter where you go in recovery, no matter what program you are participating in, and I invite you to be inclusive, not exclusive. No matter what program you delve into in recovery, no matter where you go all over the recovery world, the two most prolific statements that are mentioned everywhere you go is two little statements called, keep coming back one day at a time. And guess what, folks? Neither one of those statements is in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. But please do it. God bless.
Thank you.